Nose is itching. Somebody's coming.
We'll call the Sussex County Council meeting November 8th to order. First thing, be approve the agenda, Mr. Baker.
Yes, two or several items to suggest withdrawing at this time. First, under Mr. Lawson, Town of Bethel Police Agreement. At this time, we do not need to bring that to the council's attention.
Okay.
And then under old business, the ordinance to repeal ordinance number 1548 regarding election districts. Our legal counsel, we'd like to withdraw that at this time.
Okay.
And executive session, we really don't have any items, so.
Why is it being withdrawn?
For 1 week to finish up on the road names.
Okay. I'm glad you're doing that.
Okay. We'll entertain a motion to approve the agenda as amended.
You got it.
Mr. Wilson, second. Mr. Cole, any questions on the motion? Take the vote, Mrs. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
I vote yes, motion carried. In our packets were minutes of November the first council meeting. Any concerns, questions, or issues? Hearing none, they'll stand approved. Mr. Moore, reading a correspondence.
Yes, Mr. President. The first is from First State Community Action Agency to Councilwoman Joan Deaver. Thank you very much for your support of the Pinetown Community Beautification Project. Thanks to your generous contribution, we were able to landscape the building grounds. The community center is open and serving the youth of Pinetown. Pinetown recently had a community day to celebrate the center and build the Civic Association membership. 40 residents were in attendance and very excited about the new and improved appearance of the community center. Thank you, Bernice Edwards, Executive Director. The next is to members of the Sussex County Council. Dear council members, I am quite interested in seeing the proposed Georgetown Lewis Trail come to fruition. This trail has been part of the Delaware Department of Transportation's master plan for Rails to Trails. It's now being planned by the DLDOT staff and a private planning contractor. My personal interest is selfish. I enjoy bicycling away from motor vehicle traffic, and the present facilities in Sussex County are all quite short. The proposed 16-mile trail connecting with the existing Breakwater Junction Trail will combine to make a wonderful asset that will quickly become a place for family-friendly recreation, an important commuter link between several key county communities, and a magnet for tourists who jog, hike, or bicycle. I am writing to emphasize the importance of trails such as this as economic development instruments. The Georgetown Lewis Trail can rightly be seen as important infrastructure development that will stimulate business and jobs. The Rails Trails Conservancy, a national advocacy group, has created a white paper entitled Economic Benefits of Trails and Greenways, which is available on the organization's website. I enclose a copy for each of you and encourage you to read it. Thank you for your consideration of my thoughts. E. Lowell Markey. And that is all the correspondence.
Anyone from council have correspondence? Todd Lawson.
Thank you.
Grant application process for emergency shelter improvements.
Morning, council. Should be some information in your packet we put in regarding the Delaware Emergency Management Agency sub-grant process. I have Director Joe Thomas with me and two representatives from DEMA who made the trip down this morning. We appreciate that. And I also have a motion that we will bring up later. It recently was brought to our attention that that DEMA has funding available for emergency preparedness, and recent events has shown us that some of the activities that the county is involved in involving our shelters could be improved. And we specifically believe that our shelters could be susceptible to power outages. And because of that, we are deciding to improve these shelters that Joe and his team has identified specifically with either electrical work or generation power. As a result, We know that there's approximately $300,000 available from DEMA to do these efforts. The only caveat is the county has to spend the money up front and then get reimbursed by DEMA. It's a process that we've used before successfully, and Joe can speak to that, and then the DEMA officials can also speak directly towards the process that the county will need to take. Joe.
Good morning. What we've done in the past is for improvements to the Emergency Operations Center, we have done a sub-grant process with DEMA before to use Homeland Security funds to purchase the generator that's in the new EOC. It improved our uninterruptible power supply. We've even used it to put a generator at the West Complex through the paramedic department. So this process we've done in the past. As Mr. Lawson said, we pay for it up front and then we get reimbursed through DEMA, through Homeland Security funds. Director Turner from the Delaware Emergency Management Agency was going to be here today. However, he's in Washington, D.C. at meetings, so he could not attend, and he regrets that he couldn't be here. But he sent Principal Planner Tony Lee and Planning Supervisor Jen Dittman here to kind of help explain the process a little bit more in case you need any more clarification. So I'll call them up.
Good morning. Just wanted to go over the Homeland Security Grant Program really quickly in case you're not aware of the program. It provides federal funding for emergency response agencies to purchase equipment and to fund projects such as the shelter project that we've been working on closely with Joe. So that's essentially what the mission of the program is. As far as the sub-grant process, it's usually a fairly uninvolved process. There's an application requirement. We review that, make sure everything's in line with grant guidance, and then send Joe on his way. He takes care of the project. Sussex County would pay for the project, and then DEMA would reimburse for the project fully up to, I believe the figure is $319,000. So anything up to $319,000, we would be able to reimburse fully.
Does this building have a generator? Do we have that here?
No, it does not.
We do not. Woo!
The Emergency Operations Center does, and the West Complex does.
Yes,
this building does not.
Any more questions from council?
No.
If not, I have a motion.
You have a motion, sir.
I do. Be it moved, the Sussex County Council authorizes the Director of Emergency Operations, along with the County Administration, to apply for the Delaware Emergency Management Agency State Homeland Security Grant for emergency shelter improvements.
So moved.
Motion, Mr. Cole.
Second.
Second, Mrs. Deaver. Any question on the motion? Take the vote, Mrs. Deaver.
Yes.
Mr. Cole.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you for coming down.
Thanks, Deaver. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Mr. Baker, Administrator's report.
The first item is nationwide emergency alert system test, November 9th. And attached is a press release from DEMA regarding the alert system test, which will occur at 2 p.m. on November 9th. The test will only last about 30 seconds and will demonstrate the public alert warning system on TV and radio. LEPC meeting, the county's local emergency planning committee, will meet November 10th at 10 a.m. at the EOC. Various topics regarding preparations to respond to hazardous material incidents will be discussed. Delaware State Police report, as per the attached report for September, 3,908 traffic arrests and 1,371 criminal arrests were made in the county during September. Approximately 42% of police staff time was spent on criminal issues. Sussex County Council Pension Committee will meet on November 14th at 1 p.m. Attached is a copy of the agenda. Emergency Operations Center. On November 3rd, delegations from the country of Egypt's Ministry of Health toured the county's EOC. The purpose of the tour was to see the 911 center in operation, view equipment, and see how personnel handle dispatching. The current 911 system in Egypt handles ambulance services, and their goal is to expand it to include police, fire, and military. Our visitors were impressed with our EOC and how our system operates. And they expressed that to us. And they also looked at several others and were most impressed with the counties, with Sussex County's EOC. Veterans Day holiday. County offices will be closed on November 11th in honor of Veterans Day. We wish to express our appreciation for the sacrifices and service that our veterans have provided to ensure our safety and well-being. We'd also like to announce the location of the Veterans Center in Sussex County on Delaware Route 1 north of Lewis. Permanent location will be in Georgetown on Route 113 near the Burger King. Counseling is provided to veterans at the Lewis location, and there is information attached. Exploring entrepreneurial opportunities, the Delaware Division of Libraries and Delaware Economic Development Office are co-sponsoring a DITO Business Grassroots Plus and Broadband Technology Opportunity Program at the Georgetown Public Library on Tuesday, today, November 8th, beginning at 9 a.m. Attached is information. Thank you.
Any questions, Mr. Baker?
I have, on the
yes, ma'am.
The tour of the 911 center, ours is really excellent, and I just want to, if I may, remind folks that please donate to your fire department. A lot of us have received applications or requests for donations. If we had to pay the firemen, our request says that we would have to pay $7.21 per $1,000 of appraised value extra. That's what we have to pay if we didn't if we had to pay the firefighters. So in this county, we have a lot of volunteers. I just want to remind folks, please respond. Please donate.
Thank you. Any more things? Councilman? Mrs. Webb, Human Service Grants.
Okay, thank you. In your packet this week was a draft of the Human Service Grant spreadsheet, and I'd like to briefly go over the grant program just for a reminder. Organizations that were paid a grant last year under the Human Service Grant Program was sent a letter to apply for a grant this year. Letters were organized into the spreadsheet you were given. There are over 80 organizations. Many of the grants I've put in to receive the same amount as last ones. New ones have been added, and of course, there are no requests for those that didn't respond this year. Sometimes they come later, sometimes they don't request at all. Sometimes the organizations disband and there is no organization. This year's budget for the Human Service Grants, same as last year, $143,520. And as you can see, we had requests for $144,900, which exceeds the budget by only $1,380. Last year we were over just a small bit as well. I am recommending either two choices, that we can pay this from the County Council grants by doing a budget transfer, which is what we did last year, or we could also pull $276 from each council's community grant account. Every organization that's on the list was checked for nonprofit status, that they had a Sussex County presence with their event or their contribution, and that the funds are going towards benefiting any Sussex County resident through their event or their help that they're doing. Six agencies that have received money in the past did not request this year, and there are 9 new requests, and that's noted on the spreadsheet as well. And I do have all the organizations in case anyone has a particular question or would like to call me later. And I have a motion. I am recommending we just pull from the County Council grants that amount for a budget transfer that we're short, but you do have the option to either pull from your own as we do that too.
Read your motion, please.
Be it moved that the Sussex County Council approve the disbursement of the Human Service Grants as submitted to County Council, and a budget transfer of $1,380 will be done to transfer from County Grants to the Human Service Grant account.
I'll make the motion.
Second.
Mr. Deaver, second. Mr. Cole, any questions on the motion?
I do. I was
Mrs.
just
Deaver?
Wondering, I know Westside New Beginnings forgot to apply. Now, how do we work that? Is that separate from your plan there with the Human Service Grant plan?
Yes, as it is completely out of budget money at this point, we will, we have a couple options that I can talk to you about.
Okay, and another question, the Southern Delaware Choral Society had asked me for a grant from my account, but I'm just wondering, they're not on the list. I'm wondering how we decide who goes and who doesn't go on that list.
Well, it's been one of those, it's revolving. I don't know how far back the Human Service Grant Program goes. I've been here 18 years, and I know we've done it. And typically, everyone that got a grant last year, gets the letter, invites them to apply. Sometimes during the year, I will get maybe 2-3 phone calls and ask about what grant programs we have, and I list it as one, and if they seem interested, I'll take their information and put it in a folder so that they are invited to apply with a letter as well. So it's kind of word of mouth is a lot of it, I believe. And that's basically if they see it in the newspaper and they think to call and they say, would you include me on the list, I will do that and put them in the folder.
Thank you.
Any more questions? I will take the vote. Mr. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Webb. It is not 10:30 yet for a public hearing. We will move to old business. Additional use number 1912. William A. Bell, Kathleen M. Spurl Bell. Mr. Lank?
Good morning. For the record, I'm Lawrence Lank, Director of Planning and Zoning. What's that there?
Good to meet you.
We have an old business, conditional use 1912. It's the application of William A. Bell and Kathleen M. Spearbell to consider the conditional use of land in an AR1 agriculture residential district for a professional office to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Lewis and Rehoboth Hundred, Sussex County, on a parcel containing 16,025 square feet more or less, lying southeast of Savannah Road, 250 feet northeast of Quaker Road, and 160 feet southwest of Woodland Avenue. The Planning and Zoning Commission held a public hearing on this application on September 22nd of 2011. Council held a public hearing on October 11 of 2011. Commission made their recommendation on October 13th of 2011. On October 13th, 2011, there was a motion by Mr. Burton stating that he would move that the commission recommend approval of conditional use number 1912 for William A. Bell and Kathleen M. Spearbell for a professional office based upon the record made at the public hearing and for the following reasons. One, the use is limited to the applicant's office within their home, plus one employee. It is very nearly a home occupation. Two, the use will not require any substantial change to the property, which resembles a single-family residence. Three, the use will not generate substantial traffic to the property or along Savannah Road. Four, the use is compatible with a mix of residential properties and a few small businesses that exist in residential structures along this section of Savannah Road. Five, there are no parties appeared in opposition to the application. Six, this recommendation is subject to the following conditions. A, as stated by the applicants, there shall be no more than one employee on the site in addition to the applicants. B, parking shall be in accordance with a parking requirement set forth in the Sussex County Zoning Code. C, the property shall maintain its residential character and appearance. D, one lighted sign shall be permitted. The sign shall not exceed 32 square feet per side. E, the hours of operation shall be from 8 a.m. to 6 p.m. Monday through Saturday. And F, the final site plan shall be subject to review and approval of the Sussex County Planning and Zoning Commission. There was a motion and a second and carried unanimously to forward this application to council with a recommendation that the application be approved for the reasons and with the conditions stated. And that motion carried 5-0. That's all I have.
Any questions, council? What's the pleasure, council?
Read it.
Go ahead, read it. Please read it.
Okay. This is an ordinance granting conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district for a professional office to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Lewis and Rehoboth Hundred, Sussex County, containing 16,025 square feet more or less. Subject to the conditions A through F, as Mr. Lank just read into the record and is contained on the council handout on page 3 of the old business.
Entertain a motion.
Make a motion to read it up.
Motion to Mr. Cole to adopt.
With the conditions.
Mm-hmm. Second. Ordinance CU 1912 with the conditions. Second.
Second.
Mm-hmm. Mrs. Deaver, any question on that motion? We'll take the vote. Mrs. Deaver?
I vote yes, and I go along with what Planning and Zoning Commission says for the very same reasons they gave. This causes very little disruption or difference in the area, and it may be in the future we could look at home occupations and maybe loosen it up a little bit. We want to stimulate business in the county, so yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes. With the conditions, I believe the Planning and Zoning made appropriate response to it. Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes. On the recommendations of Planning and Zoning, same reason.
Based on Planning and Zoning recommendations and with the conditions as stated, I also vote yes. Motion carried.
Thank you. Mr. Lang.
Mr. Moore, do we have any proposed zoning ordinances?
Yes.
You'd read it, sir.
The first, Mr. President, is an ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district for a beauty salon, barber shop, and spa to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Little Creek 100, Sussex County, containing 17,228.6 square feet, more or less, and it was filed on behalf of Roosevelt, looks like DeMond.
Anyone care to introduce it?
Little Creek. I'll introduce it, sure.
Mrs. Deaver introduces it.
I'll go there.
Okay, the second one is an ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in an MR medium density residential district for a multifamily dwelling structure, two units, to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Baltimore 100, Sussex County, containing 6,000 square feet, more or less, and is filed on behalf of Anthony S. Nerlinger.
Yeah, Anderson.
Mr. Cole, Anderson. Anything else, Mr. Moore?
That is all, Mr. President.
Okay. We will wait about 45 seconds. Then we'll have our 10:30 public hearing.
Nothing like being precise, is there?
There you go. Don't want to do anything out of order. Somebody might make exception to that.
Harry noticed.
Oh, Chip's going to set the clock. We're going back from 11:30 to 10:30, right?
Mm-hmm.
Good job, Mr. Guy.
That's good, Chip.
It was already late.
That's what they do. That's how they do it in Washington, D.C.
Yeah, thank you, Chip.
Change the time.
The clock. They do that in Dover also.
You pay
move
us
the clock
more,
back.
An hour extra.
It is now 10:30, time for our public hearing. Mr. Moore.
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. This is the time that we have set aside for a public hearing on an ordinance to amend Chapter 26 of the Code of Sussex County by amending Article 3, Section 26-4, relating to the Advisory Retirement Board. At this time, Ms. Webb will explain the purpose of the ordinance to the County Council and ask any and answer any questions they may have. After she is complete with that, we will open it up for discussion and any comments by the public. If you do have a comment, please come to the podium. Give us your full name and address before you speak. Ms. Webb?
Thank you. On October 18th, an ordinance was introduced that will do three things to our existing pension ordinance. One, it will delete the pension advisory board and the language that goes along with it, as we don't use that anymore, and replace it with the Sussex County Pension Fund Committee. It will clearly define the membership of the pension committee with seven members to include the county administrator, finance director, human service director, county council member, three members appointed by Sussex County to be a community member, a current Sussex County employee, and a retired Sussex County employee who currently receives a pension. And the third thing, it will allow the pension fund committee to recommend to Sussex County Council an investment manager or portfolio without going through the RFP process. And we are suggesting that the members that are appointed by Sussex County Council, we will come in January when that's a typical time of appointments with possible suggestions and have that discussion at that time. to fit that board.
So they would not be paid?
Oh, no. Well, okay. The employee and,
right.
Yes.
Yeah, but the community members would not be, or the retired, okay.
No.
Okay. Any other questions from council? If not, is there anyone here that would like to speak or comment on this ordinance? Anyone here that would like to speak? Seeing no one, Mr. President, the public hearing on this matter. Mr. Cole, you were...
Yeah, I know. I was just waiting until after you asked anybody else out there for it. I'm just, you know, throughout the whole country, there is a lot of problems with pensions, mm-hmm. right? And when I look at the makeup of this board, it's all county employees determining their county pensions. And I'm wondering if we're not setting ourselves up for a potential problem here with, I don't know, I don't want to make it sound like, but like too many foxes in the hen house or whatever you want to say. In other words, when I look at it, there's only one person from the outside that's involved in the discussions of where the pensions go, the analysis of it, et cetera, et cetera. It's all county employees.
No, it's three from the outside.
Who?
Three community members.
I thought I saw one.
Yeah, but Joan, one of them's got to be a retired member of the county.
No, so just in addition to that, one retired member.
And how many, who's the
well, they're still, they got an interest in it. I'm mm-hmm. just saying, I'm saying anybody who doesn't has like clean hands, as we call mm-hmm. them. There's only, unless I've read it wrong, I thought there was only one.
There is only one community member on here.
Right. I'm just a little concerned. Should there be another way that we are looking at these pensions in the future? And I don't know if anybody else shares this concern.
Yeah,
I know that we've done it this way for years. We've done a great job, and I'm not trying to put any kind of...
Okay.
You know, cloud over what we do, but I'm just saying, is what we're doing the best way to do it? If we're trying to, you know, protect the long-term financial interest of these pensions and also protect the taxpayers, et cetera, et cetera. So I mean, does anybody else have share any of these concerns, or is it just me? You don't have any problem?
Well, I really thought of the same thing, but I thought, well, I'm the only mm-hmm. one thinking like
yes.
this. So I didn't say
that worries me if it's just you and I thinking like this. How about Mike? Do you think like this, Mike? No. Anyway,
do you have a suggestion?
Well, no. And as of right now, I was just wondering if somebody, Todd, you could maybe look into, find out what other counties maybe are doing, or is there another? Could we have another layer of scrutiny? Is there another outside agency that could come in that would look at these and like value? Remember, we used to do value engineering all the time. We'd go out and get all this engineering done by our engineering firms, and we'd hire another one to look over what they did. I mean, just somebody tell me something to make me feel more comfortable. I don't feel that comfortable.
Sure. One of the things that the committee has been doing the last few years is we've hired an advisor basically to come in and provide the committee with advice on the investments. So that it at one time years ago when this committee really got started, it was pretty much we were working in-house basically mm-hmm. trying to and the main purpose of the committee is to look at the investments and make recommendations to the county council regarding the investments and type of investments and whatnot. And but we have used it, and I think you remember Mr. Schoen coming to a few council meetings in the past few years, but he makes recommendations to the pension committee, to the county finance director. So there is some outside influence,
yeah,
but it's
yeah, I mean, but he's
he works
direct,
for us.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah,
he
that's what I say.
So,
I just
I mean,
know
if
there's
you,
another
we
way to
certainly
do it.
Could add more, you know, outside,
yeah.
Try to get more ideas from other people in the community.
Again, I think we've done a heck of a good job taking our pension fund from what I can remember it being sure. to what it is today.
Sure.
But as we right. go into the future and stuff, and as we lay a groundwork for future councils, et cetera, I think that I don't know if this is the best way to do it. So I don't know. If we could just defer on this and maybe come back and maybe don't kill yourself on it, Todd, but maybe just give me some ideas. Tell me what's going on out there in the real world. I don't ever leave Sussex County. So
oh, my.
Be happy to. This is the farthest I've been in weeks.
Yeah, I agree. But, you know, we're adding community. We don't have the community people right now.
What?
We don't have the community
well,
people
still
on
not
there,
enough.
Right?
You're adding one.
We don't even have a current committee that says who's voting and who's doing anything in the ordinance. This is so much of an improvement to go from what says a pension advisory board to a seven-member voting committee. And the people on the committee, it's their own. I know what you're saying about arm's length transaction, but it is their pension. So they have everyone that is an employee has a vested interest in seeing that it's successfully, they're successfully invested and that the return is as high as it can be given the parameters of our investment policy.
Don't question
and
that.
Not only that, it's only a recommendation that it does next bring to the county council, which has the oversight, I would say, to either approve or to not agree with the investments or the changes that's made or the annual contribution to the pension fund.
I know, but by the time that happens, so we're sitting here and we're at a disadvantage because we haven't been involved, we haven't heard the recommendation, we haven't heard anything, and then all of a sudden at the last minute to expect this council to all of a sudden, you know, say, wait, stop or something, hold up on this one issue or whatever. It's not going to happen. Usually it steamrolls right on through. I would just like to, if there could be somehow these recommendations could be sent off to somebody, you know, that
true.
Again, that, you know, or I don't know what. Just somebody tell me something. I just don't think.
The state of Delaware has a board that oversees the investments in their fund, and there's a number of different community people from throughout the state that are on that board.
Well, show us that. I mean, give us a couple options. I don't know. Is anybody?
Kent County and Newcastle County.
Because how many members are there on the state one?
George, wait till he finishes so I can hear what he's saying.
But we can check on Kent County and Newcastle, City of Wilmington, whatever. We can find out how they, what kind of composition they have on their pension advisory boards.
Yeah.
Mr. President, it may be appropriate to go ahead and close the public hearing, but leave the record open for purposes of obtaining information from our staff on this matter so we can get the additional information as council members have requested.
Okay.
I have a question. What about the second item that's on there about doing an RF without doing an RFP, letting the pension committee make a recommendation to council? That could affect I mean, how can we work the ordinance so that the other item is addressed as well going into this year with our pension contribution and our, rebalancing our assets and having the flexibility of being able to purchase investments without doing an RFP?
That's on here?
That's the second part of this ordinance that really is critical.
Item E.
Okay.
That we address. I don't know, Mr. Moore, how we can pull that apart, or if I need to come back with a different introduction, taking the committee out next week?
Well, we've had this entire document introduced, and we could act on part of it.
We can.
Based upon the public hearing.
We can take away, right?
Because we have properly noticed it and advertised it with the short title that was here, so we could pass parts of it, because the public was put on notice as to so that they could come and participate.
And hopefully we'll have a record showing why we had a conversation on other aspects of it, that if we take it out or something or whatever. Okay.
Can they vote on the ordinance with it including the section leaving the advisory committee until we get that solved as it is?
Leaving Section D out.
Leaving Section D out, but taking Section D out, but leaving Section E in. That enables us to have complete authority over purchasing our own assets without having to go out and do an RFP and being limited to who answers.
Yeah. Right.
What is the group called now?
By ordinance, the group is called now Pension Advisory Retirement Board.
I guess my question would be, Mr. Moore, in item E, it refers to the committee, and there is no committee. The current entity that does this is called a board, not a committee. How do we...
What kind of time frame would you be under, Ms. Webb, if this came back next week in a form to be passed? Is that sufficient timing, or is that create a
problem? As introduced or to be voted on?
No, it's to be voted on.
Next week's okay to be voted on.
Because it has been advertised, and you, like I said, you could approve part of it as opposed
and
to
the entire.
And is
time of the essence on this thing? I mean,
well,
we have a critical issue.
We're heading in, just the part of doing the RFP as we're heading into rebalancing our portfolio. It limits us to what we may want mm-hmm. to do with our assets depending on the annual returns. You know, we're getting in to get our big pension meeting.
Why can't we?
Yeah, we could defer 1 week, I think.
1 week.
We can get mm-hmm. back. We can provide the information to the council in the packet
right.
That we find, and then.
And then next week, if there wants to be a change made by council to the makeup of the committee.
Sure.
Yes, we could
do that.
We
could do that and then mm-hmm. move forward.
We're not so much makeup of a committee or just adding another. Some other scrutiny out there. That's all. I don't care about the committee. That's fine. I just think it was something else I think should be looking at it.
More outside participation.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So when I make a decision, I've heard from the inside group and I've heard from the outside group. And if they all both seem to jive, it sounds like we move on. Mm-hmm.
Anything else from council as far as questions or comments?
So what's the motion we have to make?
We're just deferring.
We're just going to defer. We bring it back.
That's all we have to do.
You know, at this point,
we're going to close the public hearing. We will leave public comment open only for the information from staff that Mr. Cole and other council members have requested. And we'll put it back on the agenda for next Tuesday to bring it back up, get that information from staff, and then see if there's anything we want to change with the ordinance and move forward.
You want a motion?
Yes.
As just stated by Mr. Vince, I'll make that motion.
I'll second it.
Motion, Mr. Cole. Second, Mrs. Deaver. Any questions on the motion? Take the vote, Mrs. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried. And any additional business brought before council? And we have had two people sign up. Ben Beck, did you have any business to bring before council, or are you just here observing?
I'm just here observing.
Okay, that's fine. That's fine. And the same thing for Angela, here observing. Okay.
It wasn't Glenn Beck.
No. Okay. They are two students who are here observing council
checking.
Meeting. Does anyone else from council have any other business brought before council?
Go ahead, George.
Mr. Okay. Deaver.
I just have a question. We got a notice of how many, we got the top 200 listings of the people who owe real estate taxes, and I was just wondering how we're doing on that. Is it still at around $3 million that in this top 100 or top 200, or is the total more than that? The total must be more than that.
The total is more than that, and uh-huh. Mrs. Webb has that, but or she can provide that to you later.
Okay.
But typically,
because I was asked about that in a community meeting, and I didn't have the figures. So, okay.
What typically happens is we, as basically September 30 was the deadline mm-hmm. for property taxes, and then after that, we our collections come in through the upcoming months, and gradually that number goes down. Our collections manager Katrina Mears is working on this. We have some scales scheduled. She regularly makes some recommendations regarding some sales, which are then passed on to the county attorney's office and then the sheriff's office for sale. They do take time to get that part done. There is a legal process that we have to go through. She is working on payment plans. We encourage people that have problems paying their property taxes to contact our tax office or Mrs. Mears so that we can, you know, come up with a payment plan, to help them work through it.
Thank you.
That was basically what I was going to ask. How aggressively are we going after them, and what kind of hammer do we have that we can get
first
this money?
On property taxes for almost all property. We can place liens, which we do, on the property so that we are first priority lien almost all the time, so that when that property transfers, even if a bank sells the property or whatever, the owners actually just sell it to someone else, then we get paid, then we get to receive the taxes. And again, 85 to 90% of the taxes, depending on what school district you're in, belong to the school district, and same with the penalties.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
We can't confiscate after a while some of these, like the, you know, somebody with $122,000, is that just property tax?
We have, it could be also be sewer and water.
Sewer and water, okay.
Because some of the sewer is on the property tax bill, depending on what sewer district they're in. Mrs. Mears is contacting these people regularly and trying to work things out. We also have Clean Hands Act, as you're well aware. Right. So if I owe property taxes and I want to get a building permit, when I come in to get the building permit, it's stopped right at the building permit counter because I haven't paid my property taxes. So I have to go upstairs, pay my property taxes, then come back down to get the building permit.
We do have a few garnishes now. That's new in the last couple of years since we've had a collection manager. And we're looking at legislation possibly, or most definitely in January, for intercepted refunds from the state. Whereas if they're on our list and they're getting a state refund, we can cooperate, partner with the state to see what we can do there, which is a popular program among states. I mean,
I'd just be curious. It just doesn't seem that this list changes very much. It seems like we've had to, maybe it has. I mean, because I don't have any others in front of me, but are we seeing different names? Are we seeing some names going off? I mean,
yes, mm-hmm. But I mean, Mr. Moore could probably answer this better than I, but when we have a bankruptcy, for instance, then we're limited on mm-hmm. what we can do. And it's, usually we don't receive anything till the bankruptcy is worked out and, you know, they just stay there if there is a bankruptcy. But there have been some changes. There was a company, for instance, a developer that came in and paid in full that was, I think, number two on that list.
Yes, they were number one right up until when we started posting that, and they went down to number two, but that was very successful.
And they paid in full mm-hmm. now.
We had one business that paid.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's a slow-moving process.
I'm sure a lot of these people could pay. It just seems that we don't have anything to require the payment.
But what happens when someone does not pay their tax? They per se have a lien on the property because the tax is a lien. Mm-hmm. Then there is a separate process where the county actually files a lien, and at that point it's a lien of assessment, and at that point it becomes a lien on any property that they own in the county, not just that one property.
And we're doing that with
these people? Yes, we are doing that. In addition to that, after a certain period, I know the collections manager, that's been very successful, that in the past calls had not been made as systematically as they are now, some of the other collection methods, payment plans. And then if all those fail, then it comes to our office for the purpose of doing an actual tax sale on the property.
Just an example, when we send out warnings, now we put on the bill, big bold letters, you are delinquent, your property may be sold at sheriff's sale, and it recites the code number. And just that, the first time we did it was the last warning, generated like 80 phone calls. Because they see it right on the bill, rather than send a separate letter that says, you know, you're going to. So we've done little steps
right,
that move
us forward.
Does
this ever get posted in the newspapers? Like the state of Delaware, I see every now and then they come up and have a list
time.
Of things.
It is on our website. I believe the 200 are on there now.
Yeah, the first time we made it public, we put it in the paper.
Money to put their name in the paper.
No, but sometimes.
Sometimes it's a motivator.
Sometimes the shame.
And remember, if it's a residential, we don't take them to sheriff's sale. So
I wouldn't be that
well, no,
we work with them as much as we can, and call them and.
If they're
any,
Mr.
Baker.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
And one other last question too,
Cole.
Since we've got such a burdened morning here, hey, this water report. I got a water report here from the Delaware Water Supply Coordinating Council. Did anybody go through? Lawrence, by any chance, do we have sufficient water here? I mean, is everything okay? I mean, what's the report say? Or if somebody could come back maybe and tell us, because we get many times if you people Hal Godwin, maybe know something. Mr. Godwin, come on down.
I attend those meetings, sir.
Great.
And, the reports that I've been seeing for the last year or more show that our water supplies are more than adequate.
That's what I want to know.
I mean, I could give you details. I do get the copy of the report from the council, but since we depend mostly on groundwater, the groundwater tables here are always above what the state requires to properly irrigate the population and the lands. So,
all right. Well, they talk about demand in the future and a right. 2030 and on and on. And so we're in good shape.
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you. Looking for a job to do that paper up, George.
What's that?
That was somebody looking for a job that drew the paper up.
Oh, okay.
Anyone else on council have anything else for additional business brought before council? Hearing none, I do have a couple of things I'd like to discuss before we adjourn. The first issue, I guess, is that reported in the newspaper last week was a supposed quote by me overheard by someone on a phone conversation I was having with Councilman Phillips referencing my statement, something to the effect of, we won't have any hearings until you get back. The sad part of this is when you bring those things in the newspaper, you don't hear the other half of the conversation. So I guess for public information, I will tell you the other half of the conversation was that was reference to a specific issue, and that issue was adequate public facilities ordinance. And obviously, Mr. Phillips, like everybody else, has an issue, questions about those things and concern about it. And when I addressed hearings, that referenced planning and zoning and county council. I think it's only fair all five council people should be here for something of that magnitude to listen to those things. So it was not me saying there'll be no public hearings while you're out of office. It was talking about that particular case. The second thing I would say, I also told the reporter who called, one of my concerns is with four members sitting here, if we have hearings come before us, and those hearings could be maybe somewhat contentious on occasion or divided on occasion, I question if we are being fair to the people requesting that, because if in fact the vote ends 2-2, it does not pass, and it could require that person to wait an entire year before they can reapply for the conditional use or the change of zone. And I'm not sure that is real fair to them. Having said that, the council is going to conduct business as we've always conducted business. We're going to move forward. We're not stopping anything we're doing. I only have a concern about some of the people who could come before us if something would be fair to them. But we really don't know that until we find out at some point in time, hopefully sooner, not later, what Mr. Phillips' disposition is going to be, how long he'll be in rehab, how long before he can come back to council meetings. All those issues have not been addressed by the doctors. Nobody knows that yet. But I want to get out on the table that my conversation with Mr. Phillips last week was referencing only one particular proposed ordinance. It had nothing to do with the rest of the county business.
Mike.
I have something too.
Mr. Cole? Following up on that, I've had a couple people concerned about, again, the four people here and stuff and not getting a fair shake. And one person was saying, you know, he was going in and trying to find out the details on when you can withdraw and not have to wait a year. And if you wait, you know, if you go too far, you got to wait a year. I'm just wondering if we gave an extension to all these subdivisions and stuff, you know, because of the economy. Maybe there's a way that we can give the ability for an applicant to be able to postpone, say, for 4 to 6 months. You know, I guess maybe we can have the hearings, but then leave them open. Or is there some procedure we could possibly do that would be legal? That you could think about, Everett, that we could give applicants the ability. Some of them are going to be like no-brainers. They feel that there's no controversy. You know, they should go right through the system. But a guy who maybe is doing something who says, you know, I'm a little nervous. I'd like to have five there. That we would give them an automatic against something. I don't know the answer. I'm just throwing it out that I feel that maybe is something we ought to be doing. To address the concerns of some of the people who filed applications that are in the system and are, you know, all of a sudden now a victim of this situation that's occurred here. We have no idea how long this could last, and it's, you know, the longer it goes, it is not in the best interest of the guy who comes in front of us.
Why don't we ask Mr. Moore to give that some thought, some legal thought?
Right.
And maybe next Tuesday you could give us a report on what your thoughts are, what we can and can't do.
See,
you can
talk with Lawrence,
see what you guys can come up with Todd, to see what is what we want to do. I am sure all members of council, we want to do what is fair to the public.
Mm-hmm. And feel free to include Dave if
and,
you want to.
Anybody else you want. Yeah, you can talk to Dave for another 45 days or so.
You don't really have to, but go ahead.
Mr. Lank, you have a comment, sir. Please step forward. And this is Lawrence Lank, Director of Planning and Zoning.
The ordinance already has a provision on withdrawals. So that, I think it's two working days prior to the public hearing action, an individual could withdraw.
I know that, but see, I'm concerned about not a total withdrawal. Maybe they just they could postpone it. In other words, if they withdraw, they'd have to reapply and come back again.
Right now, it doesn't matter a whole lot because we don't have any application that really holds anybody up.
I know, but we'd have to charge them again.
I think it's 2 days. I thought it was three, but I think it's two working days prior to a decision date. So if you had a public hearing next Tuesday and we're closed on Friday, that means Monday and Thursday. They have to withdraw it Wednesday, tomorrow, if it was next week, for example. I'm just using that for example.
Right.
But once they withdraw, then what? How long do they have to wait to come back?
They could reapply immediately if they withdraw based on the procedure. If they've already had their public hearing and they want to withdraw through council, then they have to come to council and request that their application be withdrawn and you vote on it. That's been a policy. If they'd already had a hearing with council, then they could ask that it be withdrawn. That gives them the right to reapply later.
For the sake of
that's
the
been done maybe half dozen times.
Well, under our normal circumstances, that seems appropriate. I'm just wondering, because of this extraordinary type of situation we are now in, is there something else we could be maybe doing that would be so they don't have to reapply? In other words, I know what you're saying. They could come right back immediately, but then they got to file the application. In other words, we could just take the current applications and all the work they've done with the agencies or whatever and put that on hold. How long is it when an agency gives some kind of permit, I guess, or gives a...
They all vary.
It all varies. Well, again, you may come back and say there's nothing we can do, that maybe the current system is fine, but I just thought there might be something we should do.
That's a valid point. Mm-hmm. I think if Mr. Moore and the other staff could come back with us, if maybe there's nothing we can do different.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, maybe what we're doing is okay.
As long as the public is aware of what the parameters are. Mm-hmm. I mean, certainly the council can defer
forever.
Till forever. Right. The issue with that would be if they have permits from someone that will expire. That's an issue, but
the commission is limited on 45 days,
right,
on a change of zone or a conditional use.
But once we start deferring like that, we forget about them.
No, I understand.
You know, I'd rather have it so that it's fresh in our minds, and then we do something.
Sure.
So maybe it would even be ever that we have our public hearings as they're advertised, but then maybe we make a provision for a third public hearing as a refresher public hearing or something. I don't know. Just because if it's 6 months down the road.
Right.
A lot of times we just kind of.
Right. And obviously, what we don't know now is none of us know, or Mr. Phillips doesn't know, how long this rehab could take. Mm-hmm. I'm sure we're all praying it's going to be a quick recovery and quick rehab, right, and he'll be back here very soon. But not knowing that, I just want to make sure that the public hears this exactly, that we are continuing to be open for business, we're going to conduct county business. But we want to be fair to them, and if the potential is there that it could be a 2-2 vote, that's maybe
like picking
could
your
hurt
judge.
Them at some point. I don't know.
But you don't know until we have
the vote. We don't know. Well,
right.
Unless there's somebody to look at it and say this might be a whatever.
I'm thinking,
Mr. Wilson.
What about this electronic and being able to be on telephone and screen and vote?
We have no clue if that's legal or not.
Well, I serve on another board. It's state run, and they do that. They have.
I've always felt that
have a conference phone here, and she's talking just the same as he's sitting here, except physically he's not here.
Right.
And that's run that way. So I.
Well, Dover, it's something I think that Mr. Moore can research for us. You know, I do know that if you have the same issue at the state level, when someone is out of a hall, they have no ability to vote. They can't do it. They can't Skype it. They can't over with internet. They can't do anything.
Right.
They must be in attendance by state law to do that.
And same
we have a different option.
All right. Okay.
And Mr. Moore can certainly research that for us.
Then we could, then if that doesn't work, then what George is saying, take off what he was saying. If we end up with a 2-2 tie, that automatically goes to an affirmative until he gets back.
No, I didn't say that.
I know that, but I added that little bit to the end.
And I'm not sure, and that's
I don't know. Once you
I'm
vote,
not sure
it.
Once you vote, you can defer anything.
That's right. Yeah.
I think once you vote, it is what it is, and then you vote 2-2, it doesn't get approved.
Well, I know
so.
That's a law, but
So anything?
I have a question. Once something is advertised, we have to have the hearing then? We have to have the hearing.
When there's so many days.
So once it's been, we will have to have the hearing.
Right.
But we can. Are you saying we could possibly put off the vote? Or you just,
oh, sure. We can defer.
Until the other councilman is here?
I mean, I think council has the ability to defer action on either continued use or planning or change the zone.
For that purpose.
Forever. Lawrence, is that correct?
For that purpose.
I think we've been here over the previous years. There have been things deferred for a year or two or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not saying do that, but my point is.
I've deferred some for 26 years.
You did, George. George, 26
years. I'm not saying 26 years, George. No.
Forever. Yeah, so then that councilman could vote, even though that councilman hadn't heard the
There has been a practice with the council that if someone went and listened to the tapes and then vote, well, someone likewise, I guess, could certify that they have listened to the here.
Okay, fine. And go ahead, George, you have something?
No, I was just going to say if we have applications that we've accepted, we haven't advertised for, those people maybe should be contacted and say, would you like to
pick your judge?
You know, defer on your application at this point, put it kind of mothball it for a while for, you know, a certain period of time till we get a better feel, like 4 to 6 months or something like that. Because we haven't advertised that one, so we're not caught up in our calendar and our ordinance. So until we advertise, I think that kicks in something. So maybe the ones that haven't advertised, we could do something with. And somebody who's advertised, we might have to defer. So we could find out those numbers and maybe somehow.
Well, those are things hopefully by next week Mr. Moore can bring back to us. And Mr. Lankin and Todd and Dave can work on that and bring back to us.
Zero applications?
We can have some more answers.
Right.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay.
Thank you for clarifying that. And I do have a question. Mr. Vincent, you were saying the adequate public facilities ordinance would not be heard as long as Councilman Phillips, there's a workshop.
That's correct.
Is that what you're referring to, the workshop?
The workshop, we can conduct the workshop. I was talking about having actual hearings, public hearings.
Okay, because I had gotten the word the workshop was too close to Christmas.
I had asked the workshop to be put off until at least after the holidays.
After the holidays. We will still have it in January.
We can have the workshop, we'll schedule a workshop.
Okay.
But Mr. Phillips could listen in on that.
Oh, sure.
That's okay. That we can do if we do it here.
Sure. Yeah.
Right, we're on
it. It'll be on the internet. Everybody can listen to it. Yeah,
thank you very much.
Anything else? If not, entertain a motion to adjourn.
I know he loves technology.
Motion, Mr. Wilson, second. Mr. Cole to adjourn. Any question on the motion?
So
take the vote, Mrs. Deaver.
Yes.
Mr. Cole.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
We stand adjourned. Thank you all very much.